Good morning. It's Tuesday, 17th of November. Our first reading for today is Nehemiah chapter 4. Once again, I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book on the exile's return. There has been mockery from Sanballat and Tobiah about the work that is being done. They say even a fox would be able to knock it down. I now read. Publicly, Nehemiah's only response was to offer a prayer to God. Mockery of his people is blasphemy against God himself, and Nehemiah had a keen sense of God's great majesty. Like many godly men before him, Nehemiah prayed that the punishment Sanballat intended to bring upon the Jews would be turned upon him. Let the Samaritans have a taste of their own medicine. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, we read in verse 4. There are a number of psalms that similarly do not suggest direct action by those who are reviled, but ask God to act on his people's behalf. We referred now to Psalms 79, 83, 94, 109 and 137. Nehemiah also saw a similarity between his own position and that of Jeremiah when he was subject to abuse and slanderous comments by his enemies. The second part of Nehemiah's prayer, in verse 5, is based closely upon a passage from Jeremiah 18. Then, said they, come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Those words come from Jeremiah chapter 18. Nehemiah understood that Sanballat's invective was directed primarily against God, whom he refused to honour. They have provoked thee to anger before the builders, he said. This prayerful response was not what Sanballat had expected. He probably hoped that some of the builders, perhaps even Nehemiah himself, might be tempted to strike out when the taunts were made. He would then have an excuse to use force, his favourite weapon. Prayer was something that made him uncomfortable. He could not cope with it. It seems that he had to leave with no sign that his visit had been successful. In fact, the opposite is the case. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. That is the measure of Sanballat's lack of success. He came intending to sow confusion, despondency and despair. The result was renewed determination and commitment. But in this brief comment lies a further tribute to Nehemiah's organisational skills. It was probably his intention from the beginning to bring forward the work on every section of the wall at a similar rate. As we have seen, this is one of the benefits gained from dividing up the work according to the amount of repair needed on each part. No team would be too discouraged, because it evened out the total load. But also the whole job would progress at about the same rate. Nehemiah did not throw all his labour force into the section where the destruction was worst, leaving the opposite side of the city completely open to possible attack. A city wall is only as good as its weakest point. So Nehemiah's plan was extremely sound. Let the whole wall rise up together, first to half height, then to the finished level. There is, I think, a profound spiritual lesson there about the way we build our ecclesias, and perhaps even the way we build our own faith. Thank you for listening to me.